This last week, Pastor Dave and Pastor Sean and I spent 3 days praying and planning and carefully asking God to help us shape our ministry to what He would have us to be as a church. We prayed through our church directory. If you were at our concert of prayer last Sunday, Pastor Sean made a prayer list that is a calendar for the entire month. Any person whose name is in the church directory is on that list. If you would like to be on that list, you can talk to Pastor Sean and he will add your name to it. But something amazing happened to us. We were in Banff, and because Pastor Sean and I were both on staff at the church in Banff, we were able to just get a free place to park for those 3 days in the prayer room. And we set up this big whiteboard and we wrestled together, and there was no leg wrestling or arm wrestling. We just searched the scriptures and said, Lord, what would you have us do? It was amazing. I'm so grateful to God for Pastor Dave and his years of ministry and his love for the Lord and his word, and for Pastor Sean and his study of theology, just completing his Master of Divinity. What God has done for us was wonderful. We got a really good deal at our hotel because we're pastors and because we know the people there. First thing in the morning, the first day we were there, I woke up early and I couldn't sleep. No one was snoring. I can honestly say that. I go to pastors' conferences and usually I can tell you who's got a snoring problem, but nobody did. I slept well and I got up early. And I went downstairs to the front desk, and I was just going to ask him about a place to have breakfast, and I know there's a breakfast place right next door, and they used to have a continental breakfast, so I just went to the desk, and here is a woman who was a part of our church in Banff. I knew her very well. She was the head housekeeper at the hotel, and she would always work long hours on Saturdays at the hotel, and then she would come to the church. And Saturdays, you know, the pastor is still praying, writing his sermon. I'm still at the church. And she would show up and start doing janitorial work at the church. We always had wonderful conversations. I'd pray for her. We'd talk about life and her kids. But this morning, as I went to that front desk, she just was shocked. She said, Pastor Norm, I am so glad you are here. My sister just died unexpectedly, and I just need someone to talk to. So we talked for about a half an hour, and then the other pastors came. We went for breakfast, and I said, you know, tomorrow I'm going to come early. Tomorrow, the second morning, I'm going to come, and I want to pray with you. And it was beautiful as I prayed with her. We pulled out her iPad. She didn't know how to take a selfie. We took a selfie, sent it to her kids. I sent a message, keep walking with God, to all her kids. I know the family. And this woman, I hugged her. And she's a part of the body of Christ. And I prayed with her. And she felt so ministered to. After breakfast, I went to pay for my room. And they said, no, it's been paid for. She's a housekeeper in the hotel. She paid for First Baptist Church's pastors to go and spend 3 days. She paid for our hotel rooms. This is the church. It's the people of God. We had this wonderful time together as pastors. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles. I think this is the place where we start, to the Gospel of John. You can see on the screen that we're going to end up in Ephesians, but this morning, I want to give a bit of a State of the Union address. Where are we at as a church, and where are we going? We will come to Ephesians, but I think this gives us the big picture of what the church ought to be. John chapter 15, you likely know these verses very well. If you don't have a Bible, it's in the Pew Bibles on page 1071. Apart from the work of Christ here at First Baptist Church, apart from the work of Christ here in our church, we will accomplish nothing. That's the message of John 15. Look at verse 1. Here's Jesus speaking, and he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear even more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. What a wonderful message for us as a church, that God is the one who is pruning. And where there are dead branches, we would say, Lord, would you remove them? We are not just counting number of people in seats in the church. We want to be connected to the living vine, that he would prune us, that he would prune me and you, that we would bear much fruit. Now we know the parable of Jesus, the wheat and the tares, that some of it he waits till the end of the age. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And yet here is this wonderful word of assurance to the disciples in verse 3, already you are clean. It's kind of like the word of Jesus to Peter in chapter 13 of John. Remember when he's going to wash his feet and Peter says, not me, Lord, you're not washing. He said, no, you're already clean, your whole body. But here is this powerful picture that we who are his, we who abide in the vine, we're connected to the vine. There is life on the vine. And as we are branches connected to Christ, we will bear fruit. Apart from him, we can do nothing. Your pastors can go away to Banff. They can plan a way. They can have every strategy. But apart from Christ, we can do nothing. And then look at verse 7. What a wonderful verse. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask. Now, isn't that amazing? The word of God and prayer. Do you see it? It's right there. It's everything we want to be about as a church. If we abide in Christ and his words are in us, we will ask whatever we wish and it will be done for us. Why? Because his word is abiding in us. It is alive in us. It's dwelling and living in us. We will ask according to the living word because we abide in him. And what will we ask? What will you ask? Verse 8 tells us, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. Oh, Lord. Would you cause us as First Baptist Church, as your people, this vine, this little vine that is growing, you are the vine, but this, as it is growing, that we would bear much fruit, our branches would spread out, and there would be fruit. Not just some fruit, much fruit. And look what he says. This is does two things. Do you see it? God is glorified in verse 8, and it proves something. There is evidence that we are disciples of Jesus. This is our prayer. Everything I want to share with you this morning is based on this powerful understanding that Christ is the vine, that we abide in him, his word is in us, and we pray and we seek what pleases the Father, what glorifies the Father, is that we would prove we are disciples by bearing much fruit. At the heart of this all is discipleship. At the heart of this picture of the vine is the proof of true followers of Jesus at the end of verse 8. Are you a disciple of Jesus? Am I? Then, oh Lord, let your word live in me. And let me ask, Lord, bear fruit in me. I want to ask you to be a part of that vision. As pastors, we were gone Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And this began to characterize our hearts in all that we discussed. That everything we would do, that by God's grace, he would shape our ministry so that we would be what he would want us to be. That we would be disciples that bear fruit. God's word and prayer would shape us. So I want to pray and ask God to do this very thing. Would you pray with me? Lord, my prayer is very simple. Would you work among us? Jesus, the vine, and we are the branches. Father, would you prune us that we would bear more fruit? We pray for it. We ask for it. Would you prune me? Would you, across the heart of every branch that is a true living branch connected to Christ who is the vine, across every heart in this moment, would you bring this simple prayer? Prune me, that I will bear great fruit for you and prove to be your disciple. We confess, Lord, that apart from you, we can do nothing. In verse 4, we confess that our life, the place where we live, our dwelling, our abode, where we abide, is in Jesus. We are not just brand loyal. We are Christ-centered. It is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Father, we simply pray that we would bear much fruit. The life of the vine would grow in us. And like a time-lapse picture of a vine that grows all over the structure, Lord, would you do this in our lifetime? Would you do this in First Baptist Church? Would you raise up new life and new branches and new shoots of those who will come to faith in Jesus alone? Would there be fruit that hangs off our vine? Our branches for your glory. The fruit of salvation, the fruit of eternal life, and the fruit of the Spirit, evidencing new life and living hope in Jesus. Let us be your church. Not just a church. Not just a service. But your church. Prove in us that we are your disciples as we bear fruit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to turn to the end of the Gospel of Matthew. In chapter 28, in the verses that we know very well, we have the great mission of the church. It's called the co-mission because all disciples are called to live it together. It's called a commission because it is Christ who has commissioned those who are his followers and commanded that we do this. In 1792, one of the greatest Baptist missionaries, William Carey, left the shores of England for India. And before he did, he wrote this treatise, listen to the name of it, An Inquiry into the Obligation of Christians to Use Means for the Conversion of the Heathen. Because the prevailing view at the time in 1792 was that this passage was talking to the disciples, the original disciples of Jesus. And William Carey, through faithfulness over all the years of his unfruitfulness, and then finally handing off the ministry, and God did this great work, his faithfulness became the significant force in the modern missions movement. William Carey said, "Expect great things from God and attempt great things for God." We are convinced, as your pastors, that this is the mission of the whole church. Everyone who is a disciple of Jesus. Look at verse 18. Jesus said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This passage is first of all about Jesus. He says, "I have all authority." All the authority of heaven, the authority of God, is now authority on earth. Those who are his disciples, sovereign over his followers. And in verse 20, he says, "I have commanded you." He commands and rules over his disciples. Christ is the head of the church. And then the most wonderful part of all at the end of verse 20, "And I am with you always." He is with us here. Until the end of the age, this was not a message just given to the first disciples. Long after they were dead and gone, the end of the age has still not come. Christ has promised by his authority and by his headship that we are called to do this very thing, to make disciples. The very first thing we did in Banff as we met as pastors was to reaffirm that we are absolutely convinced this is the mission of the church. We have no right to come up with our own mission. If we are not followers of Jesus, we can come up with our own mission. But by the authority of Jesus alone, we are called to make disciples. And the connection to John 15 is absolutely inseparable. "By this you will prove that you are my disciples." One of the things that we discussed was a book that was written about 12 years ago, 10 years ago. It's a simple book called The Trellis and the Vine. It takes this idea of a vine that is growing, and it was written by two Australian pastors. All three of us as pastors, Pastor Dave, Pastor Sean, and I have read it. And the simplicity of the book is one of the pastors moved into a new house, and in his backyard, there was a fence along the back of his yard, and there was this incredibly vibrant and living vine that was growing all the way along the fence. You could hardly even see the fence. The vine was alive and beautiful. And behind the vine, there was a trellis, the latticework, that the vine would grow on, and it spreads and moves all, and the vine is vibrant and alive. You can hardly even see the trellis. And then he looked in his new house, and there on the back of his garage, there's a garage at the back of his property, there was a beautiful trellis. It looked like it had been newly built. It was this intricate latticework ready for a vine. It was painted. It was beautiful. But there was only one problem. There was no vine. And what he begins to say in this book, in the simplicity of understanding the scriptures, is that this could be the problem of the church. That we are so busy making programs and structures and all this trellis work that we've got this beautiful trellis work. But there is no living vine. He then goes and inspects the vine that is there, and it is lush and alive, and it covers the wall. And he realizes that behind the vine, in some places he exposes it, the wood is rotten and it's breaking, and it's in some places it's ready to collapse. It can hardly hold the weight of the vine because it is so full. State of the Union is to ask the question, where are we at and where are we going? I think this is where we are at. We need to address both the trellis and the vine. We need the structure of ministries and small groups, which we don't have. We need to have evangelism training. We need to do outreach. We need all these things. And we could just jump right into them and we'd have a beautiful trellis. But we want to tend the vine, the branches that are connected to Christ. I read through the last 50 years of annual reports this fall. I got every annual report I could from First Baptist Church, and I read through all the pastors' reports, all the moderators' reports. In some of the years where the pastors were truly focused on evangelism and discipleship, we would have 50 people baptized in 1 year. And then there seemed to be a smattering in this transformation in 2006. The average attendance of First Baptist Church in 2006 was 300 people. By 2010, it was less than 200 people. Then we came up with a new structure. There was a management style, and as we did, the church continued to struggle. I am thankful to God for those of you who are still here at First Baptist. You have been faithful. I'm thankful for those of you that still have Bible studies in your homes, for Alec and Ellen, who led a Bible study here at the church, for Irene and Agnes, who were faithful, for the ministry of Silk, even in our evening Bible studies and the ways that we've reached out to people, for those who have still continued, even in their homes, to host and have fellowship. God has still kept that vine alive. But if we are to be the church that God would have us be, where are we going? And as your pastors, as we prayed and focused on this, I believe there's two primary areas over the next year, that I believe God is calling us to address. The first one is a renewal of a biblical structure, a biblical trellis that the vine can grow on. Now that is programs. It's a biblical structure of small groups and all these things. We want to see this happen. But it's also the biblical structure of leadership within our church. We have already committed as a board that over the next 3 years, we will seek to transition to a model of church governance that includes deacons and elders. A biblical model that returns to what used to be a part of First Baptist Church. A clear understanding that elders are humble, godly servant leaders who are sound in doctrine, able to lead and correct with the ministry of the word and prayer. That God's word would be in us and we would ask a spiritual leadership of elders, men who will serve in their homes and in the church. I believe the Bible already has a clear design for us. Secondly, we need ministry leaders who are deacons, men and women who serve as ministry leaders in every aspect of our church, godly ministry leaders. The New Testament says you don't just put someone in leadership, they must first be tested. And that's describing deacons. That those who serve in the leadership of our church, we must have a strong trellis. That our ministry leaders will be godly and humble. That they will be vibrant and alive themselves, abiding in Christ and his word, and that on this trellis the vine will grow, the branches will spread out, and we will have fruit. But we also need a structure of strong congregational authority. We are Baptist in our church governance. We are convinced this is biblical. When they chose the deacons, it says, choose from among yourselves. It was the congregation that chose. When the disciples led them, it says, this seemed good to the whole congregation. The congregation was responsible for the authority and the direction of decisions that were made in the church. They were led by spiritual leaders. We need a biblical understanding of congregationalism. The congregation was the last line of defense in church discipline. We need to understand meaningful membership. What does it mean to be a member of this church that is resident and active? It's not just attending. It's to be a part of a body that serves one another. We need to renew a biblical structure, a trellis that is solid and sound in doctrine and in faith. And that vine will grow. We believe as your pastors that the way that vine will grow is we need to renew a discipleship ministry at First Baptist Church. That at the heart of everything we do, these two things, that at the heart of everything we do, we are committed to discipleship, not just programs. Pastor Sean is our discipleship pastor. I'm so thankful to God for him. He is not our children's pastor. He's not even our family's pastor or our young adult's pastor. He is a pastor just like me and just like Pastor Dave, who is seeking to serve this church, to lead us into every ministry that we do would be about helping us grow in discipleship. That we would engage in the entire process. I had some PowerPoint slides made. Jessica helped me with it, but they were too cumbersome. And we want to begin by engaging people on this side of the cross before they come to faith. That we would engage people in loving, godly relationships, and then we would evangelize them. The word evangelize is not a negative word. It comes from the word evangel. In Greek, euangelion, it means the good news of the gospel. That we would be a gospel church, that in every way we would have discipleship, we'd engage people, and then we'd share the good news of Jesus. And if they don't come to faith, guess what we're going to do? We're going to keep engaging them, keep loving them, and we're just going to go around. That's the first part of discipleship. And then as people come to faith, we need to establish you in your faith. That you know why you believe. What is the reason for the hope that is within you? That you grow in your knowledge of Christ himself. And then, as you are growing and your faith is mature, then we equip you to serve. every aspect of what we do in this church. On the day that this church is 500 people or more, if we do not have a strong, solid trellis, a structure, a foundation that we can grow on, where at every level of spiritual interest, from the very beginning to maturity of serving in the church, the vine will not stand. God has given this to us. John 15, by this you will prove to be my disciples. So where do we begin? When it comes to renewed biblical structure, I think we begin with the congregation. We are not in a hurry to get elders. We are not in a hurry to appoint people to ministry positions. I think we need to go to Scripture. We need to say, what does it mean for us to be a congregation that takes serious the responsibility of a vibrant, active membership? I want us to reduce our membership to those who are actually present, who are actually living here and participating in the life of the church. Oh, we will still keep people as members. But if you are on the active list, we are asking you to participate in the body, to use the gifts that God has given you, that we will be unified in the gospel, that we will preach the one another's, that we will live the one another's. We will be engaged in the life of the church. That you will not just come to church and sit in a service. We are not just building a service. We want the church to be alive and vibrant and growing, branches abiding in the vine, engaged in fellowship and prayer. And God is already doing this. I see what God is already doing in our church, and we have prayed that God would bring workers for the harvest. If you are new to First Baptist Church and what I am preaching, your heart is engaged in and drawn in. Yes, don't pass me by. I want to grow. I want to serve the Lord. I want to be a part of what God is doing in First Baptist Church. Then I believe God has brought you here. I believe God has brought you to join us, to be a part of what God would do in growing the vine in this part of the city and in the part of the city where you live, on your street, like me with my children and my friends. And if you've been a part of First Baptist Church for most of your life, I know some of you have sat in a certain pew for more than 100 years, or at least your family has. Then thank God for you that you have been faithful through some very difficult times at First Baptist. And you are still here. And if your heart is drawing you in to say, yes, I want to be a part of a church that is committed to see that vine grow, then I believe you are here because God has you here. This is our State of the Union. That we will be faithful to renew a biblical structure. That we would abide in Christ and the Father would prune. And that His word would abide in us and we would ask, oh, cause us to bear great fruit. I am praying that God will do that as we begin with congregational understanding of who we are as a church and meaningful membership. How do we do this with discipleship in the months and the weeks ahead? You're going to hear about something that we're calling the Vine Project. As we were away, we prayed through the list of all those that are in our directory. And we said, Lord, would you give us some? Would you give us some whose heart would join with us and we would simply struggle together to say, what is a disciple? And then how do we make disciples? In a simple small group that says, we're going to study the scriptures. Let me blow my nose. Excuse me. And as we ask you to participate, it is simply to pray and to seek God and to say, Lord, I want to be a part of this discipleship renewal. And then we're going to ask you to make a personal reform. Where you're going to say, okay, I believe this. We're supposed to make disciples. By God's grace, I'm going to do it. Lord, who are the disciples that I can encourage? That we would actually do this as the people of God, not just in a program, but that we would actually live this way. A living vine with branches reaching out into our lives. And then, as God would give us wisdom, and when the time is right, to begin to evaluate everything we do at First Baptist Church, and to set out with a new ministry structure that shapes the discipleship mission that we are called to at First Baptist Church. My prayer is that by September we would have small groups. But we would like our small group leaders to understand that this is what God has called us to. Maybe we will do like a 4-week study. If we don't have leaders, we'll spread around the city and we'll do a 4-week study on the scriptures. Maybe we'll do a 7-week study of evangelism or 8 weeks on prayer. I don't know what we will do. We truly are inviting the congregation to participate with us and to say, Lord, what does this look like as we build biblical structure and we renew discipleship at the heart of everything we do? This is where we're at. And this is where we're going. And I believe this is God's will. That we would bear much fruit. I just want you to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians in typical fashion where the pastor preaches too long. Let me give you 4 points without comment. Let me give this to you and ask you to read this passage, Ephesians 4. In verse 1 to 16, there's 4 main ideas. The very first idea is that the church is one body. And that body is made up of only those who are Christians. I can show you through the entire text those who are called, who have been brought into the body by the Spirit. You can see it all there. I'm not going to comment. I'll let you study it. Secondly, in verse 7, you can see that God's grace has been given to all those who are in the body. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Grace to all. In verse 13 to 16, it is not just grace that's given to all, it is growth for all. It is not just attendance for all, but that the entire body would grow. It's growth for all. You can see it there. And the last point It's not just God's grace to the body. It's not just that we would grow as a body, but that there would be ministry from all. That as you grow, you will serve and you will minister in the body. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what this would be like? Every single Christian, every single person in our body, knowing the grace of God, growing in that, and then ministering in it. This is who we are. We are the church of Christ. Listen to these words as I close. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Let's pray. Father, I ask that in your mercy you would reveal this truth and convince us of what you will do yet, what you have done through First Baptist over many years, and what you will yet do again. Give us wisdom as a whole congregation, as we are patient, as we are together as an entire body seeking your will. We want the accountability to those, the priesthood of all believers. Regenerate membership, those who love you and know you and are born again, to hold accountable pastors and moderators and boards and all those who will serve, that the congregation would be your people and that Christ will be the head of his church, and that we will prove to be your disciples and bear much fruit. Lord, we pray, do this in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.